Okay. It's Commissioner Brad Holton. I'll call the meeting to order. So it's now about 1:42 on this fifth day of December 2025. And it's time for today's Canyon County Board of Commissioners public hearing. This would be regarding case number RZ2024-0002. Chairman Brad Holton, to my left is Commissioner Brooks and Commissioner Van Beek. The DSD staff report and any additional exhibits received by the established materials deadline have been posted on the county's website for the land use hearing page for anyone to review. Before we begin, potential conflicts of interest. Before we begin testimony, are there any declarations pertaining to this application, such as conversations or meetings outside of this hearing received by any commissioner?
Thank you, Chairman. No.
No, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any commissioner who, for reasons of conflict of interest, requests to be excused from participating in this specific decision?
Thank you, Chairman. No.
No, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So I'm going to abbreviate what we normally do in a really large crowd in the gallery, since there's just four of you. We assume that we're all going to get along really well. All right. So the only note is that the recording system in the room is extremely sensitive, and we can hear cross conversations, so I would ask you to not do that. So we'll do today's hearing consistent with Canyon County Ordinances Chapter 1, Article 17, and Chapter 7, Article 1. The applicant has the burden of proof, and the applicant or their representatives will go first today with their testimony limited to 10 minutes. The board may have questions for the applicant, which will not count against their time. DSD staff will be next, and then that will be followed by other testimony of anyone else who wants to talk to the board. And then when they're done, the applicant will have a time for rebuttal of 5 minutes. So if you come up front, sit at the chair that has the microphone. Dan, is the green light on for the microphone?
Yes.
Perfect. Let's talk into the mic so the recording system will pick that up. Basically, we want to keep other testimony to 3 minutes. The applicant will have 10 at the beginning. So we will not be accepting any other documents or written materials at this hearing. All materials need to be relied on as part of the record were required to be submitted by the advertised deadline, which was a minimum of 10 days ago. Materials received by that deadline have automatically been included in the record, and we have received them. This deadline is to provide ample time for inclusion in the staff report packet, hearing body review, and full transparency and access for the public. The submission of late documents or other materials does not allow all parties time to address the material or allow sufficient time for public review. Alrighty, so we are ready for the oath of affirmation for those who would like to speak.
Emily Bunn, Dan Lister, Zachary Stone, Wendy Stone, Joe Rodriguez, Clemente Salinas. If I could have everybody raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and what you got?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. So we will now start with the applicant, and they can come up and make their presentation, and you have approximately 10 minutes to do that.
Perfect.
State your name and address when you sit down, and then you can start with your presentation.
Yeah, my name is Clemente Salinas. I live at 121 Forest Parkway in Caldwell, Idaho, 83605. I'm here representing Joe Rodriguez, my father-in-law, who owns 15821 God's Way Lane. And we're here to talk about the rezone of that, so rezone request. So a little background information. The parcel is 4.48 acres. It's located along the private road, God's Way Lane. Currently, there's two dwellings on that parcel in adherence to the existing code, zoning code. Request is to change the zoning from rural residential to single family residential, and we're applying for the rezone so that we can construct a house for me and my family. We want to go to the next slide. I'm sorry. So due to the current zoning, we can't do that, right? You can only have two dwellings on that lot. What we're proposing is 2 1-acre lots and then the remainder, the 1 2.48 acre lot. Back in August, we met with the Planning and Zoning Commission, and they recommended denial because of concerns regarding development density. They were concerned about secondary dwellings on each parcel. We'll go to the next slide. So unfortunately, the link isn't working for the parcel plot, but if you guys have the exhibit from the original, and I'll refer to it here, I have a hard copy. You could see kind of the layout. On the western side of that, we have 2 1-acre parcels, and then on the eastern side, lot 3, we have the 2.4-acre parcel. What I'm showing on this exhibit is the setbacks per Canyon County requirement. So you have the 20-foot front and rear setback and your 10-foot side setback. I also have the proposed easements that are identified with the future lots. So those are all 10-foot wide easements. The interior lot lines have a 5-foot wide easement each side, except for the eastern lot line on lot 2, which is a little bit wider. That's a 10-footer. And the reason for that is for public utilities. So currently the 3 houses that are identified in that aerial image have power serviced through an easement that basically cuts directly through lot 2. So those utilities would have to be relocated, and that's where we're proposing doing that.
All right.
You want to go to the next slide, please? So some of the concerns, so the R1 zone, it allows for a 12,000 square foot lot if we're connected to city services. Currently, right now, there are no city services for water and sewer from the city of Caldwell in the area. Typically, city of Caldwell requires that the adjacent parcel that, or the parcel that's being served, is annexed into the city of Caldwell. In order to annex per state code, typically you have to be contiguous to city limits, and the city limit is a quarter of a mile to the east currently. You want to go to the next slide? So also there's an inherent reduction due to the limits that are associated with well and septic requirements. So subsurface disposal systems, those are governed by the Department of Environmental Quality, and they utilize the technical guidance manual to help size and show where you can and can't place those. Also, we have the setbacks, which I referred to earlier. We're not going to be building a structure within any of those setbacks, so that also reduces the size there that's actually buildable. And then I mentioned the on-site infrastructure regarding the underground power. So that would also need to be relocated, and it affects what we can do with the parcel. So I've clipped a couple of things here, images from the technical guidance manual. This one is regarding a horizontal separation requirement from a well to a drain field. What you'd focus on is the 100-foot minimum separation between your drain field and your replacement area and your domestic well. If you want to go to the next slide, there's also a requirement for the septic tank separation distance. Because these would be private wells, you're looking at a 50-foot minimum from your septic tank. And those are kind of the high-level points that I wanted to show here. But in order to size everything correctly, we had to make a couple of assumptions. So what we're assuming is that each proposed lot is going to have its own individual well and septic system. Each septic system is going to have a traditional septic system, so it's not going to have like advanced nitrate removal or anything associated with that. And that we're also assuming the soil conditions are uniform. So the 2 dwellings that are east and west of the proposed middle lot have existing septic systems in there, and each one is approximately 90 feet in length and I want to say 12 feet wide, and that's just the septic drain field itself. You have to give room for that replacement area. But ultimately, based on the size and the number of bedrooms associated with those dwellings, we can conclude that the soil type was a type A soil type. So we're assuming the same thing for the middle lot. So in the packet, there's an exhibit that has a bunch of line work. There's lines that have a double S. That are tied to what I tried to illustrate as the septic tank. There's some call-outs there. I've identified the 2 existing buildings and their septic tanks. And then I've offset those distances 100 feet in correspondence to the TGM to show where my wells could be placed.
So is it Exhibit 5C? That has the lines with the SS in them.
Yes, that would be it.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, that's it. And so you see each three of those, the two with the dwellings are existing, and so we offset those 100 foot. The blue lines with the W, those are the 50-foot diameter well separation. Now, there's an error. I'm an idiot, and I didn't change my drawing. What you see on that exhibit is actually a 100-foot limit, and it's not the 50-foot limit, which is why there's some conflict with the septic tanks. Okay. If you look at the scale and you can kind of eyeball it, it's actually 100-foot. I have updated exhibits if you guys want to see them, but I know that they're after the fact, so I wouldn't, yeah. Needless to say, it meets the 50-foot requirement. Okay. And so you can see that with the existing septic systems the way that they are, that western parcel, there's really not any room to put another well, especially if you consider the proposed middle lot with its placement of the septic system. On the eastern side, on the 2.4-acre lot, the orientation of the dwelling and the septic tank kind of hinder that that parcel for future development, which is fine. But I just kind of wanted to illustrate that to address some of the concerns from the Planning and Zoning Commission. So based on the requirements, like I said, the west and center lots, really you can't do much there. By adding second dwellings just because of the requirements for separation, and that it's highly unlikely on that eastern lot you're gonna be able to put a well and a new septic system and still maintain your separation requirements. I go to the next slide. So ultimately, our request is that you guys consider approval for our rezone. Just some food for thought prior to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Planning and Zoning staff had recommended approval of our request, and hopefully I've addressed the concerns that Planning and Zoning had regarding multiple dwellings on the lots.
Chairman?
Yes?
I have a question. I'm going to say this back to you. I heard what you say, but I want to make sure it's correct. I'm looking at Exhibit 5C that you were just speaking about.
Yeah.
And what you've indicated is that the blue W circles is the well.
Yeah,
radius. Well. Yeah, but that it's actually, even though it's labeled 50 feet, is 100.
Correct.
Okay. And then you also said that you have a new schematic that's correct.
Yes.
And Chairman, I would submit that the board accepts that because it's not technically new information proposing any other, but it does show a correct analysis of the layout of the lot. And so for purposes after we're gone, that would be my request for the board that we go ahead and accept that.
Are you okay with that?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So if DSD staff would make sure that his amended drawing of 5C be put into the record and probably have the existing 5C exchanged for. And we're talking the 50-foot.
The 50-foot separation on the well to the septic tank.
Right.
In that center lot is where it really shows the problem. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then, Chairman, what I heard you also say it just differently, that you would not object if there was a stipulation that secondary dwellings were not allowed on these properties.
I believe that's what we agreed to. Obviously, the owner probably wants to weigh in on that, but yeah.
Right. And, Chairman, we did have a case at Priest. Dates you and Commissioner Brooks, but someone did build an unpermitted structure. So sometimes it happens. People just think, hey, I can squeeze it in here. That would be, just to cement that, would be in conformance with what we're hearing on the testimony and probably give some people some, maybe they don't have to take Tums tonight. I don't know.
Sure. But,
yeah.
Through the chair, just to make sure, we're going to make it Exhibit 5E. Just so that we can make sure it looks right, so we're not replacing it. It'll still be in the record, the old one.
So make it 5C.1 or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Something differentiated.
Yeah, yeah.
Or 5C point new.
something.
Chairman, I have another question on Exhibit A10.1, Road Users Maintenance Agreement. So there was a request in the record from Ms. Bunn to put that, have that included with the staff report. And I guess my question is, this just, there's no address on here, unless I've missed it. And so, like, the Road Users Maintenance Agreement, it's just tied forever because it's in this staff report? Is that?
Let me pull it up really quick.
Did you refer to an exhibit number?
I did. It's Exhibit A10.1.
Thank you.
Yep. And then the last date reference on there for maintenance, it's in the result of necessary road maintenance within 1 year, and I'm looking at subsection E. Our I and R excavation landscaping will make the necessary repairs. So I don't know if they're still in business, if they still live there. It just seemed a little bit loose for me.
Through the chair, so when they come and apply, if this were to be approved, they get their short plot approved, they apply for a permit, we're going to ask them to be a part of the Road Users Maintenance Agreement, so they'd have to prove up the certification of the road again at that time.
Okay.
And then in the, you also had a question about the address, is that correct?
Because there's nothing, no address, or, I mean, it's AD2020-0011, but that was for the, evidently, the secondary dwelling that went on the parcel that's on the east, the 2.5 parcel, so.
And through the chair, I think Exhibit A part of that Road Users Maintenance Agreement, they showed the survey.
Okay.
So I think that was, like, why they didn't include the address at the time, I'm assuming, just so they could identify it through that instead.
Okay. As long as it's, sometimes we look back and we go, wow, I don't know what this is for. So. And then, Chairman, I have another question. Dan, if we're looking at it, this property's bordered on one side that's clearly shown by a farm field, and then so the access is on Marshall Lane, correct? But there's also access coming from the west?
Through the chair, I don't think they have access through Marshall Lane. I think it's they just have access through Bronk Lane and Buckaroo Court, and then they access their private road through there. You can confirm with the applicant, though.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that, because if that continues to gain more traffic, that takeoff from Homedale Road, I'm not a road person, but it looks undersized to handle additional traffic, because as the schematic shows, it's bordered by a field and then people's front yards on the north side of that. So thank you for confirming that that's not the access point there. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we'll have DSD make their presentation.
All right. Good afternoon, Board of County Commissioners. Today, I'm presenting a proposed rezone for Parcel 3270-3010B with case number RZ2024-0002. The property owner is Jose Rodriguez and the applicant is Brianne Salinas. The applicant is requesting a rezone of approximately 4.5 acres from the rural residential zone to the R1 zone. There's no development agreement, but the applicant's plans include dividing the property into three parcels, two parcels with 1 acre and one parcel with 2.5 acres. And you can see the slide for the preliminary site plan. The parcel is currently zoned rural residential with a future land use designation of residential. The property was rezoned to RR in 2019 and then was subsequently divided via the administrative land division process into three parcels, which you can see those three on the image there. This took the remaining land divisions available for the original parcel. If the rezone is approved, the parcel will be required to go through the subdivision plotting process to divide the property further. The Planning and Zoning Commission heard the case on August 21st, 2025 and recommended denial as they found the case not consistent with rezone criteria B and C. Pursuant to Idaho Code 67-6519, the Planning and Zoning Commission found the applicant may consider submitting a conditional rezone to R1 with conditions restricting development to no more than 3 lots and prohibiting secondary residences or connecting to city services and annexing a city of Caldwell when this becomes available to the subject property. The next several slides identify the Planning and Zoning Commission's findings for their rezone criteria. This is the rezone criteria found in Canyon County Zoning Code 0706051. Each question must be answered with adequate evidence to approve or deny a rezone application. The request is consistent with 6 goals and 7 policies of the 2030 Comprehensive Plan. Canyon County's 2030 Comprehensive Plan designates the area as residential. The parcel is within the city of Caldwell's impact area. It does not match the city's comprehensive plan, which calls for a density of 2 units per acre, but does not object. The city does not object to the rezone due to the existing development in the area. The surrounding area primarily contains residential and agricultural uses. There are productive agricultural fields throughout the area, along with residential subdivisions immediately northwest and south of the subject property. The city of Caldwell has several subdivisions in the platting process or that have been approved by the city within 1 mile of the property, which demonstrates the area is a transition area between high-density residential and agricultural uses. The commission found the more appropriate transition zone is the rural residential zone, as it allows for larger lot sizes between agricultural and urban areas that the single-family residential zone does not provide. The commission also found that without conditions, the proposed R1 lots could connect to city services, which would allow for 12,000 square feet lot sizes, which does not fit with the transition area. Additionally, since the approval of a R1 zone in 2019 south of the property, there have not been any Canyon County land use decisions that demonstrate this type of residential growth is occurring in the immediate area. The commission found that the rezone will not negatively affect the character of the area. The surrounding area primarily contains residential and agricultural uses, as previously stated. City of Caldwell's limits are found northwest and east, with the closest annexed property being 660 feet to the west. These annexed properties all have subdivisions and platting or subdivision plats that have been approved by the city. The city does not object to the rezone request. Although no conditions have been added, the applicants state that they will be limited to the creation of 3 lots due to the septic and drain field placement on the east side of the property. It's also important to note that the private road will need to become a private road lot during the subdivision plotting process, which will likely further limit how many lots can be created from the subject property, as a private road does not count towards the average lot size. There are some site these are some site photos of the property. The photos on the slide starting in the top left show Bronk Lane, a public road, entering God's Way Lane, which is a private road. God's Way Lane and facing east, the primary single-family residence, the field adjacent to the primary residence, facing the adjacent farms to the east, and the secondary single-family residence. The 2 residences on site each have septic systems, and any future lots are proposed to have septic systems as well. Per South District Health, the parcel is within a nitrate priority area and must conduct a nutrient pathogen study if the property goes through the subdivision plotting process. Individual wells are requested for each lot. Per the nitrate priority well map, there are 3 wells with high nitrates north of the property. Drainage and stormwater appear to not be affected by this application, as stormwater currently is retained by borough ditches. The property is served by Boise Project and Wilder Irrigation District. Boise Project submitted a letter stating there are not irrigation facilities on the property, but the property does possess a valid water right. The applicant is proposing to irrigate the proposed lots with the irrigation water available to them. The property owner reached out to Wilder Irrigation District, and they stated that the water shares and rights for the property would be divided between the lots once the subdivision plat is complete. The applicant stated regarding irrigation of the proposed parcels, the lawn will be irrigated via pressurized irrigation, and the remaining pasture will use gravity irrigation to be watered. And then utility agencies did not comment. The subject property does have legal access for the rezone via God's Way Lane, a private road, which is shown in purple. There are currently 3 houses accessing the road. You can see Exhibit 3A6 for the access easement, and then 3A10.1 for the recorded road users maintenance agreement. To access the private road, the property owners travel through Bronk Lane and Buckaroo Circle, which are highlighted on the map, which are both public roads. Per Highway District Number 4, no public street improvements are required, as the approach to Godways Lane was previously improved in 2020. You can see the top left photo for the improved approach. due to only two parcels being proposed, there's not appear to be a need to implement mitigation of, or sorry, three parcels proposed. There's not appear to be a need to mitigate traffic impacts. The proposed use is not anticipated to impact essential public services and facilities. Valley View School District stated they can accommodate this development due to its small size. No comments are received from Canyon County Sheriff's Office. Comment letter outlined fire code requirements and conditions of approval that must be met for the development. The fire district also stated the estimated response time would be 9 minutes pending call volume. And then the closest Canyon County ambulance station would be approximately 6.5 minutes away and between 12 to 13.5 minutes for the further stations. At the expiration of the materials deadline for the PNC hearing, no public comments are received, and also for the board hearing. And 10 agency comments were received for between the two hearings, which can be found in Exhibit D of the staff report and Exhibit 5 and 4. The Board of County Commissioners may approve or deny the rezone or table or continue the hearing to a later date and request additional information. Here's an aerial view of the property again, and I will stand for any questions.
I don't have any questions, Chairman. Thank you.
On the rezone to subdivision, is there an issue with surface water irrigation on the pasture with runoff? Or did they make mitigation means for active agricultural?
Through the chair, we don't require irrigation plans at this phase, so you would have to ask the applicant about that, see what they're proposing in more detail.
All right. Any other questions for staff?
I don't have any, Chairman.
All right. Let's hear from the individuals who would like to address the board.
Zachary Stone.
State your name and address, please.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Zachary Stone. I live at 15832 God's Way Lane. We purchased the property 2 years ago, September 2023, me and my wife, for a simple country lifestyle. And we were fortunate enough to fall into an amazing community living across the street from Joe. And we are here to show support for Joe and what he's trying to do. We welcome another family into the area that we can share with, that we can grow with, and just live this amazing lifestyle that Canyon County has to offer.
All right. Great. Questions, comments?
Nope. We appreciate your testimony. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon. Wendy Stone. I'm also at 15832 God's Way Lane, the property across the street.
Okay.
And also just here to support. You know, we're in favor of the building of the property for Joe's family, and just wanted to be here to support.
All right. Great.
Thanks. Thank you.
Joe. Hello, my name's Joe Rodriguez, and I live at 15821 God's Way Lane. And if you have any questions.
I don't have any questions, I
okay.
guess.
Okay, so on the, you mentioned about the irrigation. We do have a swale at the end of the field that goes down the drain ditches, and the water just finds its way down all the way.
So it's already set up for,
yes.
for the
yeah.
ag drain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Perfect. That's what I was concerned about.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Any questions at all?
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. So do you have any rebuttal? Do you need to add anything to your presentation?
No, I do not. Thank you.
All right. Questions? All right. Thank you. All right. I would,
Mr. Chairman, I move that we close public testimony.
I second.
Be looking for that motion. And seconded. All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. So at this point in time, we'll be beginning our deliberation. As a reminder, the audience decisions by the board must be based on information provided in the record and criteria outlined in Idaho State Code and Canyon County ordinances. So no new information is to be presented or discussed, and we will not take comments from the audience. It's important that we're able to discuss our opinion and make specific findings, and therefore, please be respectful as the board discusses the matter. All right. Who would like to start?
Chairman?
Yes.
I am in favor of approving this application. I think that the reasons cited by planning and zoning can be mitigated here at the board level. I did ask those questions of the applicant when he was presenting testimony. I also appreciate the clarification. This is a changing area. The city of Caldwell, as the applicant indicated, does have a well that's being installed on Homedale Road, which is probably that half mile east. And so the density for this proposal is less than what Caldwell would have put in there. And so the additional home and the ability to split those up without allowing an additional residence makes sense in that. And so it was a thorough presentation by planning and zoning. And I've forgotten your name, but you did a very good job presenting to the board with information and bringing, we don't normally accept the additional, but your clarification on that is well appreciated and good documentation for the record. We can go through the criteria, but I am in favor just because of what's been presented and the request of approving this.
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, it's not a conditional rezone, so there won't be like, we won't add any conditions to it. Just to make that clear, we can't restrict secondary residences.
And Chairman, thank you for that. I appreciate that. I guess I'm a little bit confused because I understood our legal counsel to say that we could put a condition on a rezone that wasn't structured as a conditional rezone at the board level. So I would appreciate clarification.
Through the chair, we do have a fee for a development agreement contract. So the applicant was aware of the conditional rezone process, refused to do it, and wanted to keep with the rezone process. So if you want to add a development agreement, we would have to continue this, have the applicant pay the extra fee to create that and bring it back.
Thanks, Dan.
The other alternative, a little harder to do, but you can still do it. At the time of platting, you can request that condition be added if you find a nexus during that review to add the secondary dwelling prohibiting that use. So you could wait until that application, which would come back before you, to add that condition as well.
At the preliminary plat, you said, Dan?
Correct.
Are you done?
I don't see that it's a, I don't see that it rises to the level of a conditional, of a condition needing to be put on for ADUs. And the reason why is if they're going to have to design and put this in under septic tank and wells, they've run out of space.
And I don't disagree with you, Chairman. The schematic clearly shows they don't have the room to accommodate it.
I mean, the original lot at 2.27 acres, theoretically, I mean, even that, it would just be terribly, terribly creative to try to put in something. So I just don't, I don't have a level of fear or worry that we're treating others unfairly if we don't figure out some way to put a restriction on it, because I think it's been demonstrated here quite clearly, and we appreciate your drawings, that really testifies to the issue about potential accessory dwelling units absolutely eliminated from the west lot and the center lot, and even with the east lot, it's highly unproblematic that it would be a problem for it to do something. So I'm comfortable. I guess, you know, you and I look at that on some of these other applications, and we're kind of concerned about that. But I think everything's been explained to me that I have no worry.
Thank you, Chairman.
So, staff, did I interrupt? Were you going to say anything else?
Okay. No, Chairman.
Okay. So, I think it would just be best if we go through the FCOs real quick, and I think that let's just start. So A, I agree that it's generally consistent and find that their findings of the P&Z was correct. I would go to staff's findings on B, which their paragraph, I believe, is.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would just use staff findings for the entirety of it and ignore what P&Z gave us. And that's
I was probably
about as nice as I'm going to get with it. Like, this is very easy for me.
Okay.
I would like to use what Emily created and gave to us initially.
We would have got there because in a generalization, the planning and zoning used the same logic on several of these criteria to answer that, and I don't. I can't find an agreement with that. So let's go a different direction than what I started out with. So going back to staff's analysis, are we then okay with accepting staff's analysis as our FCOs?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
I would support that, Chairman.
Staff, do you have any concern with that?
Through the chair, no. I think I should be able to transfer it over just fine. So
okay, all right.
You still agree with yourself? Is that what you're saying?
I think I do, yeah.
Well, I think that I'll just make a statement that the P&Z at times looks at things at the macro, and to me, this is at the end of the drive. This is looking at something in the micro. We're not physically changing or amending the conditions that abut an existing agriculturally productive field. And so I'm very comfortable with looking at this in the micro. It's at the end of the lane. There's no other way currently to date to put in access coming in from the east. And I think this is a higher and better use of the property than to let it be the way it is. That's in general terms what I would think.
Yeah. And Chairman, again, I've already touched on it, but with the growth in this area, this seems like a compromise that would be beneficial, so I'm supporting what you're saying. And we have yet to hear from Commissioner Brooks.
As far as what?
You're in favor. I guess that's why I was just wanting you to affirm that you're in favor.
100%. This is, I'd have made the motion as soon as we opened this thing. Mr. Chairman, reading through this, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that there's not 1,000 houses going in a quarter of a mile to the east of this place. So I have no idea where the idea came that this is a transitional area with, I think you had at least 23 lots in there that were under an acre with very close proximity. So, I mean, this is,
well, we have,
we're adding one house.
We're abutting to a subdivision that happened in the early,
yeah,
70s, if not the late 60s. And so it's physically abutting up to it. So,
Chairman, yeah, I would say, too, that the farm ground that we've referenced is being leased or rented by a farmer, but it has been sold for development. So, and it has changed hands at least one time. So it is, the negotiations are underway.
So if there isn't any further discussion, if we're comfortable with all of the 8 criteria, I'm definitely am.
I am as well, Mr. Chairman.
All right. If there's no further discussion, I would entertain a motion to consider approval.
Chairman, I move that based on the findings of facts and the conclusions of law and order contained herein, that the board uses staff's criteria and staff report, and that we approve case number RZ 2024-0002, a zoning map amendment of parcel R 327-03010B from rural residential to single-family residential as the reasons for the denial have been mitigated with the information brought forward by the applicant.
I second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. You have your rezone, and you're off to the races here. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn.
I second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Let's consider ourselves adjourned.